And so I will introduce you to my wonderful wife. In fact, in my opinion, the most beautiful woman in the whole entire world. And my daughters are with your children in Sunday school. So here's my beautiful wife.
Praise the Lord, church. I am so happy to be here with you. Thank you so much for your warm welcome. There is no other place I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord. There is no other place I'd rather my children be than in the house of the Lord. Amen. So thank you. Thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for opening your arms. And I do want to give honor to Brother and Sister Brown as well and the Brown family. I have fallen in love with them, and I just want to wrap them up and take them with me. But I know they're here serving, so I'll be obedient and leave them for you guys. But I'm so blessed, and I have been blessed this weekend. And thank you. I do want to make mention, I have a table out there. I have scarves from Turkey. I have ties and pictures from Greece, some CDs. After service, come and take a look. You might find something that you like, and anything would be a blessing to us. And I would also like to share a story with you this morning, if that's okay. The story is of a little a family, the mother, the father, and two little girls. The father was working hard at the hospital, doing the best he could to make a living and to hope in hopes one day buy a house. The mother, she was going to school. She was trying to earn those grades, get A's, and get a degree. She graduated, and she is a credentialed school counselor. Both of them working hard and trying to save every penny, every dollar they were making to buy a home and make a comfortable life and start a family. One day, God came knocking, and he asked them, "Will you give this all up for me and follow me to where I'm calling?" So at the time, they had the one little girl. They said, "Yes, I will do that." And they sold everything they had, and the money that they were saving to buy that home, they used to follow God to the country where he was calling. So now with the one little girl, they moved to the country of Turkey. They got a little apartment, they collected some things, and they called it home. And 2 years went by, and God came knocking and asked them, "Will you give this all up for me and follow me to the country where God is calling?" So they said yes, and they sold everything that they had collected at the time. They used that money to get to the next country where God was calling. And now with two little girls, they have to start all over and build a place called home in the country where God has called them. And I share that with you to ask you to help us. Help us build a little place called home to the country of Greece where God has called us. I know you already figured it out. That story is our story. That has been our journey. And we have a shipping project to raise in order to allow us to do this. And this shipping project is $11,200. And I know what you're thinking. That is way too much money. You may not even be able to help us. But I am happy and so blessed to report that we have $6,000 more to go. And this will help us build a little place called home in the country of Greece. And I share that to ask you to link together. And let's just win this nation in Jesus' name.
If our ushers could come, I just want to just give a little bit of a victory report for them. They've raised the money, their fares, $14,560 they've already raised for their airfare, their evangelism fees, $3,920. They've already raised those funds, I believe. They've also raised their educational funds, which is $11,200. So God has really been blessing them. But the shipping and then their language study is $8,960. And I believe that we can take and help them out with getting some of their shipping fees and their language studies done here. The country of Greece is at a crossroads. It's where east meets west as far as culture in our world. We need a church there. We need these people there. God needs them there. So we're going to pray, and whatever God feels to lay on your heart, you can, if you want to, going to be making a checkout, you can make that out to Calvary Gospel Church. And if you want to give to the shipping or to the language studies, you can write that on there, on the check, and we'll make sure that that gets to them directly. But Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to spread your gospel all over this world. God, I thank you, Lord, for this couple. I thank you, Lord, for the burden that they have as they leave the comfort of the United States and they head across the world into an area, God, that desperately needs salvation. We pray, God, that every dollar that they raise, Lord, that you would bless that dollar, that you would move upon each and every member of Calvary Gospel Church this morning, God, as we take up an offering, Lord, for this couple. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, what you're going to do and how you're going to use them and work through them. You're such an awesome God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So as our ushers take up this offering this morning, once again, we want to thank Brother and Sister Marino for being here. Such an honor and a privilege to have them here. While we're taking the offering there, we're going to go ahead and have Brother Marino come back and he can preach to us. I said, just let it go, brother, whatever God feels.
Could we all please stand right now? And can you turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 24? And we'll start reading at verse 54, Genesis chapter 24, verse 54. And the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 24, verse 54. If you don't have your Bibles, you can look up at the screen. The Bible says, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. Verse 57, and they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Jesus, in your precious name, we thank you for your wonderful spirit we felt here today in the house of God. We pray that our hearts would be open to you, to your spirit, and to your word, God, every heart and every ear. And we pray this in your precious name. Everyone say, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You may be seated here today. And so if I may give you a bit of a background to this particular series of scriptures that I read to you. Basically, now Abraham, very prominent character in the Old Testament, was now up in age, and Sarah, his wife of many years, was now dead. And so now Isaac, their son, the son of promise, was now a bit older, and now he was of age to get married. And so Abraham calls his eldest servant, which I know and believe was not just a random move, but was strategic on the part of Abraham. He wanted his oldest, most responsible, most reliable servant for this very important task, to find a bride for Isaac. And so he tells him that the Lord would help him and prosper him in the way. And the servant sets off all the way from Canaan, modern day Israel, all the way to Mesopotamia, modern day southern Turkey or northern Iraq, between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. As this servant journeys on, he did not have the help of what my wife and I have as we're traveling across America. To be honest with you, many times as we do with, I believe Brother Rossi is the one that gave us the address initially. Many times I'll get the address from the pastor and I'll punch it in my phone and it'll sync with my vehicle and it'll give me verbal directions all the way to Madison, Wisconsin, or all the way to Canada where we're going to go next. You know, this servant did not have the help of the interstate, nor of signs, nor paved roads. But I want to tell you today, on his long journey, he had something far greater than that. He had the leading of God Almighty. And I wouldn't trade the leading of God for anything in this whole entire world. And so this servant sets out and he goes on this journey. And he goes all the way and he stops at the well outside the particular place where he would find that bride. And before he goes one step further, he does a very smart move. In fact, the Bible lets us know in so many words that he begins to stop and he prays unto God. And you know how I know that he prayed? Because the Bible said that he talked to God. I'm so thankful here today that we're in the house of God, and I don't want to make it so complicated that you would think it's unattainable. But I want to tell you, even if it's your first time in God's house, that you can cry out to God. If all you can say is, God, can you help me? And you can say it in faith. Let me tell you, it qualifies for prayer. We may have come to God's house. We may have situations, our disease, or something that we need God's help. And we may not know how to pray a fancy prayer like some of the ministers. But can you cry out to God and say, Lord, I need your help. I need a change. I need you to do something in my life. If you could talk to God like that, let me tell you, you're on your way to prayer. And so this servant says, Lord, bring her to me. The one whom I would ask of her water to drink. And she would say, yes, not just water for you, but she would take it a step beyond and say, also water for your camels. And so I like the way that this prayer ends, because the Bible says that he hadn't even finished talking to God, but that the Lord had already answered his prayer. I'm so thankful here today that God is a powerful prayer answering God. I know that they took prayer requests, and many times I never want to get to the place where I just do it out of form or fashion. But I still believe, and I know I'm amongst a church that does, that we can bring needs before the throne of God, and God can change a life. God can heal a disease. God can do all manner of miracles. That's the God that we serve, and that's the God that's in the house today. And so he prays this prayer. In fact, he was probably surprised, Pastor, as he probably opened his eyes and said, whoa, God answered quickly. Because before he had finished talking to God, Rebecca came walking up to him. And so he asks of her water to drink. She gives water for him, offers water for the camels. He inquires and finds that she's of the family of Abraham. And in my imagination, he probably turns around and he says, yes, God has answered my prayer. He turns back to her and he asks her a very weird question in my perspective. He asks her, is there room in your house for us to stay? Now, that's weird in my perspective, because coming from Los Angeles, you would never invite somebody into your home having meet them the first day unless you want to wake up with a gun to your head and somebody ready to rob you blind. But my wife and I, having lived in that part of the world, the Middle East, we saw very quickly that they are huge on hospitality, even to this day. I don't want to get into much, but you could even see some cultural things that date on back to the Bible times. And you're saying, wow, that's so awesome to see these things, that you could get a better understanding. Just like when they would wash their feet when they would go into a home. To this day, to show a Middle Easterner the sole of your feet is a grave insult, because that is one of the most dirtiest parts of your body. And so he goes into that home. They put food on the table. And no doubt he's hungry. He's journeyed through the hot sun. He's went a long ways. But he had such a sense of duty and responsibility that he says, before I can eat one bite of food, I have to finish the business that I have come here for. And so in so many words, he says, if you would allow, I have come to take your daughter halfway across the world to be a bride for a man whom you have not yet seen. Now, I don't know how many daddies we have here in the house of the Lord, but I'll tell you one thing. I have two girls. They're 6 years old and they're 22 months old. But I'll be honest with you, I'm already investing in a 12-gauge shotgun. Because I know that somewhere along the way, there's going to come a knock on the door. And if they don't fulfill that book-long criteria, they're going to hit the door running. So it strikes me as surprising that they got past the dad and the brother, because the dad and the brother say, what can we do? The thing proceedeth from God. And so she's been released as a bride early the next morning. The servant hastened, rushed to get back to his home and his family. And in his rush, the mom and the brother said, "Let the young lady stay with us a few more days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go." And so the servant doesn't like that. He says, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way." I'll just say very quickly, I know we may say, what is 10 more days for this girl to wait in light of her being released halfway across the globe? Well, if I may give you just but a few seconds description of her brother Laban, he was a man that was a liar and a trickster and a cheat. You could find later on in the scriptures. Now, I know they don't have people like that in Madison, Wisconsin. But let me tell you, they had those type of people in Mesopotamia several thousands of years ago. And so the servant gives them that response and they said, "All right, let's call the young lady. Let's inquire her mouth." So they call Rebecca. Rebecca steps out in front of this crowd mixed with family and foreigners. And they asked her, "Will you go with this man?" And so Rebecca is probably like a deer in the headlights. And you got to think of the complexity of this decision. First of all, if she said yes, she was being asked to marry somebody she had never seen in her whole entire life. Now, I'll be honest with you. I try to walk by faith. But I don't know if I could have had enough faith to say I do to my wife, having never seen her one single time. I'd be searching for a picture. I'd be saying, what does she look like? I have to see her before I marry her. But Rebecca was being faced with this decision. Not only that, church, if she said yes, she would be taking a step halfway across the known world. Because in that day and time, that was the known world. If she said yes, she was leaving her family and her friends and her comfort zone, everything she had ever known. But I want to tell you, I'm so excited that at the end of the day, despite the question marks, when God came knocking in Rebecca's life, that Rebecca responded by faith. And in essence, she said, "I will go. I will go to where you're calling me to go, God, and I will do what you're asking me to do." I know that God's call is not always easy to respond to, and sometimes it may take us out of our comfort zone. But I want to tell you that when you respond to God and say, "Lord, I will go where you want me to go, and I will do what you want me to do," I will tell you without a hesitation that God's way is always the best way. And I've discovered, even being in the Middle East, the safest place to be is in the perfect will of God. And so some years ago, when we took the step and we ventured across, initially it was to the country of Turkey. And we actually got to live in Antioch, the place where we were first called Christians. So we were there, and of course Antioch has changed a whole lot. It's no longer a stronghold of Christianity. But now Turkey is 99.8% Muslim. Everywhere you turn, they're Muslim. They're not all radical. They're not all super conservative. But you can guarantee, for the most part, most of them will be Muslim. Because they believe if your father was a Muslim, then by default, you don't have a choice. You will have to be a Muslim. And so it was an underground work. We met in homes. We didn't have a beautiful church. We didn't have a sign. We didn't have the opportunity to put door hangers nor do open evangelism. We met in homes and closed the windows, closed the doors. But let me tell you, we discovered very quickly that that was not a hindrance for God's Spirit to move. And I come to a church like this where we have top-notch music, and I say, "God, I cannot just sit back and relax with my hands to my side." But I know what it is to be in places like that. And I have brothers and sisters even here today in different parts of the world that don't have the liberty and the opportunity we have. I say, "God, I'm going to take up opportunities, God, and worship you with all that I have, because there's nothing hold me back." Could you clap your hands unto God here today? Thank God for the liberties that we have here in America. I want to share with you one of the most powerful experiences I had in my life. They had a leadership conference. It was not a Holy Ghost crusade, not a rally, nothing like that. We couldn't really have openly advertised events like that in a setting like that. So they had this leadership seminar from Apostolic Principles. And so it was several days. International evangelist, brother and sister Showalter, had come. And they looked around for the best interpreter they could possibly find. And really, it was a pioneer effort. The missionaries were helping. They had gotten the city 1 month for the first time before us. So it was a learning experience. And so they looked, and the best interpreter they could find happened to be a Sunni Muslim. You may say, what are you doing hiring a Muslim to be an interpreter at your event? Well, when you're on the mission field and it's a pioneer effort, you got to work with what you got. And that was all that we had to work with, because we had to get that message translated for other denominational workers that had attended the event. And so this interpreter, no doubt with dollar signs in his mind, he began to interpret, and he just began to say the things that he heard in the Turkish language. But I want to tell you, I'll never forget to the day I die, as after that last session, after him interpreting God's word, he stepped back and he realized the words that had been flowing through his mouth, and God's spirit had begun to go a hold of him. And I saw, as he stepped into the corner, as tears came down his eyes, as he realized that he was been touched by something far greater than he'd ever been touched in his life. I walked up to him and I said, Zeki, do you want the Holy Ghost? He had already been explained what it was. And he says, yes, I want the Holy Ghost. I told him, I want you to repent and lift up your hands to Jesus. Without hesitation, he began to pour out his heart to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He lifted up his hands to heaven with the understanding that Jesus was that God. I laid my hands in his head, and I want to tell you, church, it wasn't a whole afternoon. It wasn't an hour. It was actually just a minute, a matter of moments before God had filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking other tongues. I want to tell you, God's Spirit is real. The power of God is real. Can we clap our hands into God here today? Because that's the God that is here right now. I've never been a boxer. I don't know all there is to know about boxing, but I do know one thing. They get them with that jab, and it kind of puts their head back, and then you got to go for the knockout punch. I couldn't resist, so I said, Zeki, I want you to say that Jesus is God. That is a huge proclamation to come forth from the lips of a Muslim. But with the tears in his eyes, after he had gotten done speaking in tongues for a while, he began to say that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. I'm so thankful for this revelation. I'm so thankful that we know the mighty God, the Creator, the one that has saved our souls. And his name is Jesus. It was soon after that the Lord redirected our steps to the country of Greece. And that's where we are now ministering. And I'm so thankful for Elder Brother Demas and Brother Phil Demas here, born in Greece. I'm so thankful for those that have paved the way. And we were actually, I think about all the history. So much history to be said about ancient Greece and Greece. And I think that excites me because I'm a history buff. But much more than just the history. The biblical history, it's what gets me excited. I think about Acts, the 16th chapter, the Apostle Paul. He was on his second missionary journey. And while he was in Troas in western Turkey, he had a vision of a man in Macedonia that said, come over and help us. And so God, the Apostle Paul, the leading of God's Spirit, he ventured across for the first time in all of history to preach what's preached at this church: repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking of the tongues. He preached it for the first time on the continent of Europe and in the modern day country of Greece. And I'm so glad it's been like a wildfire. And now this gospel has spread across this globe. And so thankful for missionaries that are proclaiming truth on a Sunday across the face of this world. The Apostle Paul ventured to a place, city called Neapolis, which has now been renamed Kavala. And I want to tell you, some 2,000 years later, that you have brothers and sisters there baptized in the name of Jesus, where the place where Paul set foot. He ventured further, made his way to Philippi, and while he was there at the river, he met Lydia, a seller of purple. And her family were converted and baptized, no doubt, in the name of Jesus. And my wife, little Esther, and I are standing there at the river with little Naomi kind of swimming somewhere in my wife's tummy because my wife was pregnant at the time. But as we stood there, the tears almost want to come to your eyes. And the Lord is, I don't consider myself a great man, but I'm so thankful that I have got to walk in some of the places where the Apostle Paul walked. And I pledge to this church, and I pledge to every church we go to, that we're not preaching something different, but we got the same gospel, the same doctrine that the Apostle Paul preached, with the same power and the same anointing and the same God. Paul was there and he ventured on further to Thessalonica. And the plan is, when my wife and I, our family goes back, we're going to be living in Thessalonica, called Thessaloniki, the place where the apostle went. And in fact, when we leave, I really don't want you to forget us. And I'll make it very easy for you to remember us. When pastor, a preacher has you turn to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, I want you to remember us in prayer. Because we're going to be in that old city proclaiming the truth of Jesus' name. When they have you turn to 1st or 2nd Corinthians, I want you to remember us, because Corinth is in modern day Greece. Or when you read in the book of Titus about the island of Crete, I want you to remember us in prayer, because Crete is now a modern day Greek island. Or when you read in the book of Revelation about John the Revelator exiled on the Isle of Patmos, I want you to remember us in prayer. Because that is the modern day Greek island. All these places, biblical history. And we get to see Jesus' name proclaimed again. I'm so thankful. I know that I've heard some say that our roots go back to Azusa Street Revival, but I want to say they go far greater than that. Because we are the original. We are the original church, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful to be a part of the original real deal. The Apostle Paul eventually made his way to Athens, and while he was there, and the Acts 17:16 says that while Paul waited for them in Athens, that his spirit was stirred in him when he seen the city wholly given to idolatry. What was it that gripped the Apostle Paul's heart? He saw what we saw, except he saw it in its entirety, the temple to Olympian Zeus, the temple to Athena. As the Apostle Paul walked the streets of Athens, he seen people that were captive to false doctrine, if you would. And he couldn't just sit back and relax and say, oh wow, as long as me and my family are saved. But something gripped his heart, and it was a burden, and a burden for souls. I think about the word burden, and really one of the definitions is a heavy responsibility. My wife carries around a little red backpack, and that's where we carry diapers and wipes for our youngest child. And she tries to keep it as light as possible because it is easier on our journeys. And I don't think a burden is a cute little backpack like that. But I think in terms of a backpack filled with rocks and filled with weights, that you have it on your shoulders, and everywhere you go, you can't just shrug it off, because it grips your heart and it grips your mind. The cries of souls, of people and souls going to a devil's hell. I want to tell us that we have the power, we have the responsibility, we have the ability to rescue those souls out of the fires of hell. And so Paul journeyed further, and they took him to Mars Hill. As he stood there in Mars Hill, he was addressing quite a refined crowd. Men that were so sophisticated and educated, probably maybe had the equivalent of modern day doctorate's degrees. Of course, Paul also was a bright mind, but he was far outnumbered. And as Paul stood there and he looked up, he would have saw the Acropolis, the second highest point in all of Athens, filled with many temples to false gods. Beautiful edifices. You look at them, and I know those that have backgrounds in construction could say, wow, how could they have constructed this without modern day technology, without cranes and all the things that we have at their fingertips? And the Apostle Paul looked up at these grand
churches, if you would. He could have felt intimidated. He could have felt small and insignificant seeing the crowd and seeing the Acropolis. But the Apostle Paul, he wasn't filled with fear or favor. But he had a fire and a fervor. And he stood up on Mars Hill and he said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I saw an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." He said, "Whom you therefore ignorantly worship." He said, "Him declare I unto you." And he declared unto them the one true God. And we know his name here today. His name is Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost, you know. Because the Apostle Paul stood, he set the example. I want to tell you, there's a church, a United Pentecostal church, not just a few miles away from Mars Hill where Paul stood, started by the Reverend Ellen Demos in the mid-70s. And that church is just a few miles away, but they're proclaiming the same gospel with the same power and authority the Apostle Paul had. An international church with 22 plus nationalities, Sunday services are translated into at least 4 languages with the preacher and somebody next to him and people in the back with translation booths with headsets spread throughout the congregation. Every tongue, every kindred, every nation, like a reflection of heaven. Every continent is represented there except Antarctica, because we cannot baptize those penguins in Jesus' name. But everywhere else, they've come to find work. But Jesus got a hold of them. If we would have just allowed Jesus, there may be a various backgrounds here in this church. And no doubt many that are plugging away with all they have for God. But maybe there's just one here that you come and you're indecisive. I want to encourage you, if you would let Jesus get a hold of your heart, you will have no regrets. You will not look back with sadness, but with joy. And you'll say, "I wish I would have done it sooner. I wish I would have gave my life to God." But for all God's goodness and for all that God has available to us, I've discovered that God will never get us in a headlock, and he'll never drag us kicking and screaming into his perfect will. But it takes for us, like Rebecca, to take the step of faith and to say, "I will go." And it's not always to go halfway across the globe. In some cases, it is. In our case, it was. But let me tell you, you may have heard it before, but you don't have to always go halfway across the globe. Maybe you just got to go across the street to invite somebody to the house of God. I've discovered that when God comes knocking in your life, that it's not always a change of physical location, but it will always be to go to a spiritual place. And maybe you're here today and in your heart you think, "I could just go a little bit further and I could give a little bit more to God." I want to ask you, will you respond to God and say, "I will go. I will do whatever you're asking me to do, God. I won't hold back even a portion, but all that I have I want to give in the hands of Jesus. I will go." Sometimes there may be sacrifices along the way. When we come to a missionary service, I do not want, and it's not my intent, to pass the Kleenex box around for everyone to feel sorry for us. How can you feel sorry for somebody that's living out their dream, reaching souls in other most parts of the world? That's not our intent. You know, but I think when you say, "I will go," sometimes along the way, whatever God's call is in your life, there may be a step out of the whatever's comfortable. And it's always a blessing, but I think one of the hardest parts is my girls are not in here when we have to part from papas and grandmas at the airports. And when we do, my oldest one is old enough to know. She's old enough to know that we're not going to see them for a while. And so that little girl's very expressive. You can bet, you can guarantee there's going to be a floodworks at the airport there. And so after a while, Daddy tries to keep himself composed, but I have to turn around because it gets a hold of my heart. But you know what? When we've gone to other countries, when we went to Turkey, when we went to Greece, and I saw somebody baptized in Jesus' name, I have to throw up my hands to heaven and say, God, I'll say it again and again. It's worth it all. I'll say it again, God. I will go to do your will. Can we all stand right now? In closing, I want you to consider the greatest example we could ever have in life. Consider Jesus. Of course, Jesus was God manifest in flesh. As Jesus walked to Calvary, of course, in his infinite wisdom, Jesus knew what lay ahead. He wasn't just walking into it blindly. It wasn't like he didn't know the pain and the suffering that lay at the end of Calvary's hill. As Jesus walked to Calvary, that element of flesh, I don't believe we here today, we're all flesh. I don't believe Jesus just desired to get beat to a pulp. I don't think he just said, I feel like I want to feel some pain today. But I know that as he walked to that cross, perhaps his flesh didn't desire that pain. Every inch of his body crying out, covered by blood, covered by wounds, covered by pain. But as Jesus walked to the cross, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. As Jesus walked to Calvary, as he experienced more and more pain, and he knew what lay on the hill, he knew that bloody death, he could have looked at you and I and said, they're not worth it. They're going to mess up. They're going to trample on my grace. But I'm so glad that Jesus, the Bible says, for the joy that was laid before him. And I want you to know that that joy was you. And that joy was me. He saw my face perhaps as he walked to Calvary's hill. He saw 2,000 years into the future, into Madison, Wisconsin. And he said, I will go. And we could, the altar workers, the altar team, if you could come forward. I want to ask you, will you tell God, I will go? Can you open up your spiritual ears and hear the call of God in your life? Maybe it's to receive the Holy Ghost. Maybe it's to be baptized in Jesus' name. Are you willing to tell God, I will go? Maybe it's to stretch yourself out and teach Bible studies or give more to God than you've ever given to God before. Is there a young person here today that could say, God, I'll pour myself out. I'll give you all, Jesus. I will go.
Going to get baptized this morning.